is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Wonderful being with you today. You know, we're in this series now, The Call, The Chosen, The Faithful. I like that. I just like the sound of that, don't you? Are you one of the called, the chosen, the faithful? You know, the Bible says that Jesus is going to return again, and he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. A lot of people say, oh, well, then we've got to perfect ourselves. We've got to be perfect and totally stainless, or he's not going to come for us. The church has to become the perfect vehicle on planet Earth. Well, listen to me, my friends. There's only one who's perfect. And when it says he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle, I'll tell you what that means. Don't look at yourself. I mean, you and I should strive to be perfect. Don't get me wrong. And we should do our best with the strength of the Lord. And he has the strength for us to keep sin away from our lives. But listen, you know what that really means? I've heard so many people preach falsely about that. They say, until the church gets to where we run the whole world and we're perfect in every way and you people out there have no sin, then Jesus cannot come again. And I want to laugh at such nonsense. Let me tell you something, my friends. Jesus is coming for a church that he made clean and washed white as snow, without spot or wrinkle, because of what he did, not you. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Now, that's no license to sin. Some people say, well, since I'm a Christian, I can go do whatever I want to. I can go sin because I'll be forgiven. That's, what kind of attitude is that? Maybe you're not a Christian if you have that attitude. Maybe you better look in the mirror, my friend. Maybe you're not really one of the called, the chosen, the faithful. You see, Paul said we sin not because, why? He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, the Holy Spirit goes inside of you. Christ within you is the hope of glory, the apostles said. Now imagine, God is stainless. God is perfect. And if you sin, do you know how much that hurts the Holy Spirit? You're the temple of the living God. And God cannot cohabitate with sin. He won't live with the devil's work. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. Did you know, I really believe God is brokenhearted when you sin. He doesn't want you to hurt yourself. And that's what you do. You hurt yourself. You think you're getting by with something when you sin. You're not. You're hurting yourself. You're damaging yourself. Now, if you have a child and the child does something that's harmful to himself, imagine that. It grieves you. You have a burden for that child, do you not? I'm telling you, I get the letters here about teenagers and so forth, and a lot of parents are grieved. And by the way, I get letters from some teenagers, and they're good Christians, and they're grieved over what they see their parents do, the example they have. Grieved. Now, if God is grieved over his children, then that means he's grieved when you sin because he knows of the harm and the damage, the hurt that's caused by sin. That's why he came and he died on the cross for you, to destroy the work of the devil in your life. Now, the wonderful thing is he did come. The wonderful thing is he gave his life for you. You're a friend of Jesus. I love it when Jesus told his disciples, from now on, I shall call you my friends. Wow. Wouldn't, you know, I'd love to sign a letter like that. You know, they always have the closing on letters. You know, some people write sincerely in Christ. And others, you know, just write sincerely. Some write love or all my love or something. Well, whatever you write's fine. But wouldn't it be wonderful to write and mean it, a friend of Christ, and sign your name to every letter you write? Think about that. Well, he said you're a friend of his. If he knows you as his child, of course you're his friend. Of course, you know, Wanda, I'm married to her. She's my wife, but she's my best friend, except for Jesus. And we both have Jesus as our best friend. It's a pretty good combination when you can get a trio of friends in your home. I just want you to understand something. Maybe you can never be perfect. You should try, of course. Ask God for more strength when you fail. But you say, I can't attain perfection. Well, then that's good. In this one sense, not that sin is good, but listen to me. Your recognition that you cannot be perfect, that you need Jesus and you need a Savior to forgive you your sin. That's an achievement. That's something to shout in joy for. And to know that God is going to come for a church that he made perfect without spot or wrinkle because of what he did on the cross. Oh, you're never going to get a perfect church. You go in any church building today, and out of 20 people, there's going to be one committing adultery and one doing this and one sinning and this way and one lying this way. And then you're going to have probably three or four saints out of the whole bunch. And the pastor may not be one of them. Well, but you know what? The real key here is Jesus in a person's heart. And I'll tell you, those people that are sinning, they'll feel guilty. They'll be convicted. You know, sin will take you further than you ever want to go. There's a great song by the Cathedrals talking about that. And I've always loved that song. See, a lot of people, they head down the road to sin, and they don't know how far it'll take them. You know, one time I was on the freeway, and I misread the road sign, and I got off. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just double down this little country road here and try to make up for lost time. And, you know, then I got off on that road. Pretty soon, I'm out to nowhere. I mean, when I got off of the road that was leading me where I really wanted to go, where my goal was, I was right on it. But when I got off, it suddenly took me into places I couldn't even imagine. I was off into La La Land before I ever knew it. It took me much further than I ever wanted to go. Has that ever happened to you? You make a wrong turn. Have you made a wrong turn in life, my friend? You better turn around and come back. Don't try to go off another little road here or a little road there. You better come back to the main road to Jesus, because sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. Well, here are the Cathedrals, the great Cathedrals, singing a very blessed song. Sin will take you further. And then after that, we'll have our message for today, our continuing series on the call, the chosen, the faithful.
As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartbreak a sinner must face. But God, in his goodness, has let me return to share with his children this lesson. Dying with nothing to show. Gone were my loved ones and my dearest friends. Only a Savior could love me again.
Sin will take you farther.
Sin will take you further than you want to pay. I just love that song. This is Tex Mars again. You know, you can write to us if you've got questions for us. If you'd like to become a member of this fellowship, we would love to hear from you as well by your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And you just tell us, hey, he's in my heart. We'll believe you and accept you as a member of our fellowship. Just write to us and let us know that. Now, if you have the ability and the Holy Spirit leads you, of course, we would love to have your help financially. But, you know, one thing you can do is pray for us. I always like to receive letters from people, and even if they don't have a cent to give, I know you can spend some time praying for us. We'd appreciate hearing from you on that. Let us know you're praying for us. Encourage us, because we're doing our best to bring a gospel message across the globe. Yes, we're heard in nations around the world. And when you do give, your support goes to preach the gospel and carry out the commission of Christ, which is to preach the gospel to nations everywhere. Okay? And that's what we're attempting to do. So it's a missionary outreach. Okay. Now, let's go on then with our message for today. Don't have much time. We're going to give what we can of it, but we're going to continue next week with the called, the chosen, the faithful.
The hope of glory, Jesus Christ. If you have him, God says, you're one of my living stones. You're part of the temple of the living God, and God dwells in you and walks in you. Can you imagine the power that gives you to discern, to understand, to have miracles in your life, to have strength and comfort and joy? Because God walks in you, not because you are a God, but because the God is inside of you. And that's why we're not supposed to involve ourselves with false religions such as Judaism and Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism. We're supposed to stay separate and clean, because it says we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's verse 14 there in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? My friends, Jesus is the light. You can't blend the light and dark together. No. There is no darkness in him at all. People try to blend Judaism and say, I'm of the Judeo-Christian tradition. Do what? You're not of the Judeo-Christian tradition. You're of Jesus Christ, period. I don't even like that term, Judeo-Christian. What are you talking about? Have you ever studied the Judaic religion, the religion of Judaism? Even Jesus said you're of your father, the devil, and talked about all the man-made traditions. They have their Talmud. It goes way beyond the Old Testament. The Jews today, the rabbis, have the Talmud, and it is an evil book. But right now, I want you to know that God has built a temple here on earth. And everyone who is a believer in Him, in Jesus Christ as Lord, He dwells in them. They're His living stones of this temple. The Jews say, if we're going to rebuild our temple, well, fine. That'll be the temple for the devil, for the Antichrist to go in. You say, I don't believe that text. Just read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just before Jesus returns to gather up his people, the saints, the Jews will rebuild their temple. I believe it. They're determined to do it. They're determined to build that temple. And it's going to be a sacrilege, my friends. It'll be blasphemy. They're going to institute their sacrifices. But you see, Jesus, it was the one sacrifice for all times. So that's blasphemy too. Don't be part of that. I know of Christians who are sending money to Israel, to the Temple Mount Foundation, saying, here, use my $20 or $30 love gift to help build the temple. I want to help build the temple of God. Can you believe that? How deceived can you get? Don't give money to build a Jewish temple. Don't you know if you're a Christian, you are the temple of the living God and He dwells in you? He's not going to dwell in some place built with human hands. The ark is in heaven. The curtain was rent. I mean, read what happened when Jesus was on the cross. The glory of God left the temple. And Jesus prophesied, not one stone will be left on another, and it wasn't. And I think the Wailing Wall, as they call it, was built later because it wasn't there at the original time of the temple, because there wasn't one stone left upon another. And Jesus does not want us to be involved with Judaism. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. My friends, you want to be one of God's chosen people? You want Him to be your father, just like Abraham is symbolically your father, your spiritual father, but of course, God is our heavenly Father. Then accept Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile then. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. It says, for what by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Jesus is the head. Now, do you understand there can't be a God's chosen over here and a God's chosen people over there? There's only one body. And it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. I don't know how many times the Bible has to say this before people believe it and it sinks in. I guess they've listened to the lies in their pulpits for so long, and all this from Hal Lindsey to Jack Van Impe to whoever over there preaching stuff to them, John Wolford or whatever, they all preach the same lies. And they're all deceived men. Some of them are sincere. I don't have any doubt that John Wolford is a sincere man. He's put out so many, Bible commentaries, all preaching the same nonsense. I wish John would just use the Bible. And then pretty soon people go to John Wolford as an expert and they quote him and they build their books based on his. And then you have generation after generation of lies. Had a man, was a pastor, had been invited to debate somebody on a certain moral issue. Said, I can't wait to go on TV and debate about this text. I said, well, boy, I tell you, you've got so much strength and ammunition in the Bible, you can't lose. I agreed not to quote the Bible. We agreed to just discuss. I will use, though, the history of the Christian church as examples. But I've agreed not to quote the Bible. I said, well, you just disarmed yourself. You just did God a great disservice. He said, why? I said, don't you understand? Without the Bible, you're nothing. Without God's word, you're nothing. You know, the man got so mad at me, he hasn't been my friend since then. He hasn't. He went on to become head of some big pre-tribulation center and connected with Tim LaHaye or something. still teaching the same lies. The man that said, I can't use the Bible, I agreed not to on national television. That's all I use is the Bible.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.